Good morning, everyone. Today I'm recording this actually on Saturday afternoon, and our chapel is not available, so I'm doing it from my office, but I have a virtual background here that has the stained glass window of the Nativity that is in our hospital chapel. So I'll just move aside a minute so you can see it. You can see Mary with the baby and Joseph next to her and the angels up in the sky, so to speak. And because we're still officially in the Christmas Epiphany season, I thought it might be a nice place to be this morning. I'm really pleased to be with you virtually. I've been thinking about this sermon all week, and I've had a hard time trying to figure out how to preach on the baptism of Jesus at this time in our lives as a country and as a world community. At first, all I could think of was the contrast between the message of the gospel, the voice from heaven saying, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased," and the response of the secular world around us. "Oh yeah," people might say, "with COVID cases increasing and lockdown and job loss and death and a tanking economy, the empire just south of our border threatened by a madman, world peace threatened, how can we associate the word love with God? Where is the good news here? Where is God in the midst of all of this?" Well, as I thought of people saying that, and we can all say that from time to time, question that, I didn't get any helpful answer. Human beings have been trying for centuries to reconcile the gospel message of love with the presence of evil in the world. And for sure, I'm not going to be able to do that in one, hopefully, short homily. But what did come to me was an invitation in the gospel, and actually in all our readings this morning, an invitation to pay attention, to listen, to hear God's declaration of love in God's voice, no matter how dissonant it may sound in the midst of the realities around us. We have to listen really carefully and intentionally if we're going to counteract the noise and the bad news that we hear all the time. We spend so much time focusing our attention on reading and listening to the internet, radio, television, newspapers, and we're so influenced by the frantic pace of life in a big city that it's really hard to hear anything else. Sometimes it seems almost impossible to shut out that insistent racket so we can listen to the much quieter, more subtle voice of God. Listening to the voice of truth and love is hard, and it takes attentive concentration because we can so easily be addicted to listening to those other voices. So listen now to some of the good news that we have just heard from the Word of God. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening, there was morning, the first day. Well, what was there in the beginning on this first day of creation? There was some unformed substance called the void in this translation. There was darkness, there was water, and there was wind, a wind from God, a way of saying the Spirit of God, which swept over those waters. And God's voice, God spoke light into being. "Let there be light." Or as in one translation that I love, God says, "Light be." God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Can we hear those words now? Can we let them speak into the darkness of our world and our lives? God speaks. God's voice moves the darkness aside so we can see the light. And God says the light is good. the light in our lives, however much of it there may be, even if it's only a silver lining in a cloud or a sliver shining through the darkness, that light is created by God's voice. Let there be light. The more we attune to that voice rather than the voices and the words of darkness that we hear all the time, the more light we will see. A similar message of hope comes in the psalm that we've just heard this morning. And this is in the original New Revised Standard Version. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord gods. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name. Worship God in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of God is a voice of splendor. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying glory. God sits enthroned above the flood, that is the waters. The Lord sits enthroned as king forevermore. God shall give the strength of God to the people. The Lord shall give those who hear the blessing of peace. Well, that's just some of the verses from Psalm 29, but they're amazing, an amazing declaration. The voice of God is not so quiet and subtle here. It's a powerful voice, a beautiful voice, a splendid voice. A voice that all of nature rejoices in. And it's a voice of strength. Even the other gods of the earth, the gods of bad news, the gods of violence, the gods of hatred, even though they may seem so strong, the psalm demands that those gods listen to the voice of the true God. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Not only nature, but the gods of this world are commanded to listen to the real God, to bow down and worship, to acknowledge the strength and power of love, to receive the blessing of peace. And then in the gospel message for today, we see Jesus, the incarnate word of God, a word again, a voice. Jesus is being baptized. Where is the good news in that? How does that important life, that important event in Jesus' life, when he receives his unique vocation to live, die, and rise for us, how does that speak to our situation here and now? In many ways, I think. It's important to recognize that what Jesus was baptized into was a renewal movement in Judaism that had started actually before his birth. And John the Baptist seems now to be either the leader of the movement or one of several significant leaders. The people were being encouraged to involve themselves in this symbolic washing away of sin as an initiation into a more pure form of their religion. All religions throughout human history have had prophets of renewal who call people back to the basics of their religion, which have been lost somehow because organized religion seems to always have a way of accommodating itself gradually to the secular culture around it. That was true at the time of Jesus as well, and it's certainly true now. And it's one of the reasons I think it's so hard for us to hear the voice of God in the midst of our secular lives, which have so much influenced our church. So in being baptized, Jesus chose to align himself with this renewal movement, to humble himself before his cousin John, and to show himself willing to go through this sacrament of purification. It was a sign and encouragement to others that John was himself speaking the word of God and could be trusted as a leader of the people. I wonder if Jesus was surprised by God's response to this voice, to the response of God vocally to Jesus' willingness to be baptized by John. We're told in the gospel, and just as he was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Well, God really sounds like a very proud parent here. The way any parent might speak after seeing their child win an award or graduate from high school or university or any other accomplishment. "Wow, you are my child, and I am so very proud of you." Or maybe that parent would turn to someone next to them watching this event and say, "Look, that's my child. I am so pleased with him or with her." And there's more here too. In saying, "This is my beloved child," God is acknowledging Jesus' very special relationship. From this point on, Jesus' vocation is clear. He will bring the gifts and graces of his heavenly parent to all the people he encounters in his ministry. He will bring them the grace of God's love, God's healing power, God's goodness and purity, God's voice that speaks of human unity and peace to the earth itself, as promised to the angels who sang at his birth. And that's the voice we must train ourselves to listen to, and not only to listen, but then to proclaim using our own voices to those around us that God's voice is a powerful voice, a healing voice, a beautiful voice, a healing voice of love, unlike the voices of fear and violence and dissolution we hear all around us. We can exercise our own baptismal promises to work for justice and peace and healing and wholeness in our earth and among the people of the earth by using our own voices and sharing God's love. May each of us be a voice of love and grace, and may all our voices taken together speak far more loudly than the voices of darkness around us. Amen.